make way for the King of Kings and let his kingdom in. I don't know about you, but so often I am aware that I don't welcome him into every part of my life. I keep parts back. We thought last week about just life and God's kingdom, a vision of life in all its fullness for everyone and every aspect of our lives in harmony with God's good purposes. The temptation to divide the sacred and the secular has always been there. The prophets in the Old Testament constantly call people to live according to their covenant with God and said, look, songs and sacrifices and keeping the Sabbath are no good at all if the rest of the week is marred by greed and selfishness and the oppression of the poor. In our culture, the division has been much more acute since the Enlightenment, with religion being sidelined to the private sphere. People talk about having a personal faith. The spirit of the age puts religion into the God slot. And people say you should keep your beliefs private. They shouldn't influence the rest of your life. And we make distinctions between spirit and matter, between sacred and secular, between faith and work, soul and body, religious and worldly. We separate the two. We've allowed Christianity to become a system of beliefs rather than a way of living. Perhaps one of the reasons why other religions or the faith communities pose such a challenge in a way to our society, because actually these people see life and faith as very much a whole and don't understand the distinction that we make so often in our Western way of thinking. Jesus, of course, didn't drive a wedge between the sacred and the secular. Now, he was clear about doing his Father's will, and only that. He was single-minded. But, you know, it didn't make Jesus a narrow-minded religious bigot or an obsessive fanatic, did it? Who he was at the core of his being flowed out in everything he did, in acts of mercy and in the way he dealt with other people. And he lived life to the full. As well as showing compassion to the needy and to the oppressed, he also enjoyed going to a party. He took an interest in the people around him in their daily lives. He was an attractive human being that ordinary people flocked to and listened to. He could crack a joke as well as cry. And working men were influenced by him and attracted to him. Jesus took part in the normal everyday human activities of working and eating and washing and walking. And he told his disciples, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age. The end of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, verse 20. I will be with you always to the end of the age. You know, I wonder if sometimes we limit the application of those wonderful words where Jesus says, I'm with you always. Do we sometimes limit it to, I'll be with you in difficult times? You know how it is? We encourage one another maybe sometimes with those words to say, you know, the Lord's with you as you're going through this particular trial. Well, that's true and that's wonderful. But not only then. The context at the end of Matthew's Gospel is Jesus sending out the disciples in their mission, and maybe we limit it to that as well. You know, I'll be with you. And, you know, when you go down into the streets on a Friday night with street pastors, I'll be with you there. Surely he will be with you there. But not only there. If he is with us always, that means that in every moment and in every place, Jesus is with you. In every moment, in every place, he is with you. It means there's nowhere we go that's off limits to Jesus. And nothing we do that is of no concern to him. There's nowhere we go that is off limits to Jesus. And nothing we do that is of no concern to him. Fling wide the gates and welcome him into your lives. Those are challenging words, but they're also wonderful words and full of joyful possibilities, aren't they? That you and I can know the Lord with us every day, every moment. And I believe that's his purpose for us. Evangeline Paterson was a prize-winning Irish poet, and she wrote this. I was brought up in a Christian environment where, because God had to be given preeminence, nothing else was allowed to be important. I've broken through to the position that because God exists, everything has significance. As many of you know, I'm part of the Northumbria community, which draws a lot of its inspiration from the story of the Celtic Church. And one of the things about the Celtic Christians was that they did see God in every aspect of life. And some of the prayers that come down from that tradition, from the Hebrides and other places, are prayers about lighting a fire. You know, lighting a fire in the hearth to heat the house. Ploughing the field, planting the crops. Putting your boat out to get some fish. Milking a cow. You know, these prayers were said in the ordinary, everyday things of life while people were at work, because they recognised that God was with them in all things. Psalm 139 was a favourite. Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know everything I do. The wonderful psalm that talks about God being with us in every place, at every time. It means that Jesus is with you on Monday morning when you're signing in at work or doing the school run or whatever it is you do on Monday mornings. You know, our daily responsibilities at our work or our career is as much a calling as that of a minister or a missionary. Jesus worked for most of his life as a carpenter and joiner. If you think about it, the Son of God spent most of his time on earth as a carpenter and joiner. It means Jesus is with you on a Wednesday evening or whenever it is in Bromsgrove when you're putting the recycling bin out. Because the family and the home is the place where God is served. It's not merely a place where we get what we want and what we need. Yes, much is routine and pretty boring. Washing up, changing nappies, whatever it is we have to do. But they're acts of love and service if we do them for God. There's a wonderful line in the film Chariots of Fire. If you, many of you will know that film, where one of the veteran relatives of Eric Liddell says, you can praise God by peeling a spud if you peel it to perfection. In other words, even the most mundane tasks can be offered to God as part of our worship and our praise. And Jesus is with you when you're pursuing your leisure interests and your hobbies, when you're developing your God-given creativity and enjoying the company of friends and everything. Richard Foster puts it this way. The discovery of God lies in the daily and the ordinary, not in the spectacular and the heroic. If we cannot find God in the routines of home and shop, then we will not find him at all. It may seem ironic to be reflecting on this at the start of what we call Holy Week. Surely what I've been saying means that every week is or should be holy. Every day should be, and so on. Are there special times and ordinary times? How does it work? Well, we certainly touched on the dangers of mere religious observance divorced from the rest of life, that splitting of the sacred and the secular. But in fact, we need special days and we need special weeks and seasons of the year precisely so that we learn how to recognise God's presence in ordinary time. When we celebrate someone's birthday, let me illustrate this. When we celebrate someone's birthday, as we've done today, it's not because we only care about them one day in the year. At least I hope not. It's a way of underlining that they matter every day. Next Sunday, we celebrate Easter Day, the day of Jesus' resurrection. Well, why all the fuss? It's just another Sunday, isn't it? No. Every Sunday's special because of Easter Day. You see the difference? These special times help to mould our thinking and they give shape and meaning and purpose to the rest of our lives. Jesus himself went to the synagogue on the Sabbath. Sometimes he withdrew alone to pray. Although he lived all his life in fellowship with his Father God, there were nevertheless times he set aside specifically to pray, and we need to do the same. This series that we've been working through and come to an end of today has been called Becoming More Like Jesus. It's all about living intentionally as his disciples, about putting things in place so that the Holy Spirit can work in us and through us. I think over the years I've picked up the feeling from some Christians anyway that, you know, if you believe, if you have believed at some point and the Holy Spirit's come into your life, then everything just follows on from that, and you just sort of get on with it, and that's how it works. But in fact, we need to continue to put things in place so that the Holy Spirit continues to work in our lives. You read the writings of the Apostle Paul, you will see someone there who was very determined to make sure that nothing was going to prevent him from running the race of faith and achieving the prize. Talks about that in Philippians. And we need to make sure there are things that enable us to continue to become more like Jesus. As we embrace this vision of life in the kingdom of God that transforms our imaginations and fires our hearts. I said last week, it's not a list of things to do, but an invitation to live life to the full. It's not a list of ought-tos, but of can-dos, because Jesus is with us in all things at all times. I don't want us to go away from this series thinking, oh, we've got all these things we've got to do now. Or if we are able to form life groups, we sort of have this feeling that that becomes another thing that we've just got to fit in. But actually a wonderful opportunity that Jesus gives to us to discover more and more of him in our daily lives. So on this Palm Sunday, throughout this Holy Week, and in all the days that lie ahead of us, may we welcome into our lives a Saviour who has become like us, so that we can become like him. May we open our lives to the servant king who calls us to follow him and to work and pray for the kingdom to come and God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. May we seek God in the ordinariness of life and pray that the Holy Spirit will reveal more of the glory of Jesus Christ in us as we follow him day by day. Jesus told his disciples, and he says to us, I will be with you. Always, even to the very end of the age. Amen.